From the DMZ to the NATO front, this is CRN.
Welcome to the Lightning Round.
Welcome.
Well, hello, and welcome to the Dave Kirshner Lightning Round Podcast. I am your host. We are on episode 137. We are finishing up week 118, I think. I might have to recalculate that, but I think we're on 118 of the illegitimate, fraudulently elected, numbnuts, tyrannical reign. What a jack-off. He'll invite people that basically led a riot in the Tennessee State House. It's a violent insurrection. He'll invite those Democrat lawmakers that were expelled but then later forced to be taken back. He'll invite them to the White House after what they did. But I don't even think he's made a phone call to the parents of the deceased children at the Tennessee Christian School where a deluded trans activist went in and shot a bunch of people and children. Nary a phone call, nary even acknowledgement, because that goes against their agenda. Got some interesting articles for us today. Well, let's start with something important. We have another gun show coming up this weekend with CNE Gun Shows in Sharonville, Ohio. That is just north of Cincinnati and just south of, Kings Island and Mason. It's probably half an hour maybe from Dayton. I don't know. So if you're in eastern Indiana, northern Kentucky, southern Ohio, and you're near that area, there's a gun show at the Sharonville Convention Center this weekend, the 22nd and 23rd. I think that's what it says. Yeah, 22nd and 23rd. It's open 9 to 5 on Saturday, 9 to 4 on Sunday, free parking. $10 admission for adults, 12 and under are free. They said, we have over 300 tables this weekend to buy, sell, and trade new, old handguns, shotguns, rifles, knives, holsters, ammunition, reloading supplies, antique weapons, coins, and much, much more. And you can go to the CNE Gun Show website and you can get a coupon for $1 off if you're interested. But I thought you'd like to know. So if you're in that kind of tri-state area of eastern Indiana, northern Kentucky, and southern Ohio, head on over to the Sharonville Convention Center. The address is 11355 Chester Road, Sharonville, which is all one word, Ohio 45246. And there's your public service announcement for the day. Go get you some guns and ammo. Get you some holsters. I've been getting text messages. I signed up for something. I don't know what. But I get text messages all the time from my Patriot Supply. So they send me texts telling me that they're running a sale this on such and such day for this product or that product. I'm also on some sort of text list for Safelite carriers, which is, vests, bulletproof vests and things like that. They've got other products. But I got an interesting one it's a new and discreet hyper-concealable carrier for invisible protection. So I'm going to click the link for you right now. And the link takes me to the hyper-concealable Hyperline Level 3A carrier. Woo-wee! That bad boy is $1,100. Wow! Says it's a great entry-level vest. At that price point, I don't know. Anyway, you can make 4 interest-free payments of $275. Anyway, I get these links. Sometimes you get a really good deal. My Patriot Supply has done me pretty well. I just got an email this morning telling me that, what do they call it? KNP. So basically it's Amazon telling me what my monthly royalty payment is going to be. And I'll tell you what I've been doing with that money for the last couple months is every time I get a royalty payment, I go buy more long-term storage food from my Patriot Supply. I don't know how they've done it, but they have a distribution center somewhere here in Columbus. I don't know if it's Columbus, but maybe Central Ohio. Might be in one of the outer suburbs or something in a more industrial area. But, you put that order in, it's at your house within 2 days. It's wonderful. So now that I know how much my royalty payment is going to be, I know that I can go buy another 3 months supply of food if I want to go that route, or I can go and do some one-offs. You can buy specific things. So if you go to their website, you can get 3 month and 6 month, 1 year supplies. But the thing that I'm interested in, because I've been buying a number of these 3 month supply, not 3 month, I'm sorry. I've been buying a 1 month supply. 3 month supply is $797. I'd have to save a couple royalty checks for that. But 6 month supply is $1,500. But the thing that I'm actually interested in is kind of building out my other options. So it's not always, the mac and cheese. It's not always the soups and the stews and things like that. So I want to build out my other options. So they have a tub that you can get fruit, veggie, and snack mix. It's 122 servings. They also have the ultimate breakfast kit, the beans trio and rice kit. You can get a whole bucket of powdered whey milk. So that's an option. You can get another bucket of just freeze-dried coffee if you wanted to. They actually have a black bean burger bucket. So that's interesting. Not a fan of black bean burgers. But in a survival situation, I'll take some comfort food, something that looks and maybe tastes a little bit like it. Now I'm kind of curious about this black bean burger mix kit. So it says, protein in every patty. You won't believe how great this tastes. In an emergency, one of the first things to disappear from the shelves is fresh protein, which is why I'm an avid hunter and I'm building out my trapping skills. Yes, I know this is a Jackassery show and I'm off point, but I wanted to explore this with you. And so now we have the black bean burger is 60 servings. It's a 10 pack in a bucket. And it's $60. The fresh fruit, veggie, and snack mix, that's $117. If you go to the short term, that's where you can get the 4 week emergency food supplies, $277. The 2 week emergency food supplies, $127. You can get a 1 week food supply ammo can for $59. But like I was saying, I've got a lot of interesting stories. Articles, and the first thing that I want to talk about, well, I don't know, I got a couple things. We'll see what we can get through. I don't like telling you what I'm planning on covering, because when I don't get to it, I get the emails, hey, when are you going to cover blah, and then, I'd rather you not know what you missed. All right, let's get into it. All right, the first thing is it's all Hunter Biden related. And the first thing is how, oh shoot, where'd it go? Well, actually, technically I have three things that are related to the jack off in the White House. The first one is we now have an IRS agent, a senior IRS agent, who has sent a letter via his lawyer to congressional members outlining the various things that they have done in terms of presenting evidence and information to superiors, only to have everything that they've done squashed and thrown out the window. This person is now requesting whistleblower status and has hinted at a highly placed political appointee somewhere in that food chain is squashing all of the investigations into Hunter Biden. The various pundits are saying that it's Merrick Garland, but it's interesting. So the article goes on and says that the House Committee on Oversight and Accountability has been following the Bidens' tangled web of complex corporate and financial records. It's clear from our investigation that Hunter and other members of the Biden family engaged in deceptive, shady business schemes to avoid scrutiny as they made millions from foreign adversaries like China. We've been wondering all along where the heck the DOJ and the IRS have been. Now it appears the Biden administration may have been working overtime to prevent the Bidens from facing any consequences. And that was a quote from Kentucky Republican Comer, James Comer, who is the chairman of the House Committee on Oversight and Accountability. So that lines up, because any normal, free-thinking American, as the drips and drabs of information came out about the Bidens and where all this money was coming from, and, you know, we're getting data dumps about the Biden laptop, which we haven't seen the contents of that. It's probably in the same place as the client list for Jeffrey Epstein, the bottom of the landfill. So this is a little concerning. But now you've got somebody stepping up and saying, I'd like to be a whistleblower because here's what I know, and here's how I know things are being blocked by the DOJ and the IRS and the FBI. And here's my information. And the letter was in broad strokes. It was very general. It didn't name names, but it was enough to warrant a hyper frenzy on the news media cycles, the nonstop white noise that's just yammering in your ear about this corrupt family. I mean, the Bidens are actually giving the Clintons and the Obamas a run for their money in terms of corruption. There is no way in hell that you can take the words of Barry Obama post-White House, who's saying that, you know, when you're in the White House, you think, I'm in the White House, this is a pretty cool house, everything's free. It's not. They had to pay for food. They had to pay for cleaning supplies. They had to pay for bathroom items, you know. And he said, every year you're in there, you're running a deficit. Yeah, they pay you $400,000 a year, but you're running a deficit. If people are spending the night, you got to pay for them. If people are working overtime, you got to pay for them. That's not, you know, the Fed paying for that, in his words. So how does a guy and a family come out of the White House, presumably after running 8 years of a deficit, to now being $135 million richer? Where's that money coming from? And the same is true for sitting members of Congress. You got $170,000 a year, and yet somehow your family's personal wealth is in the hundreds of millions of dollars. How does that happen? Well, it happens like this. As one example, you've got a son who, when he's not high and not banging hookers, is apparently highly functional at trading on dad's name in foreign countries, some of which are adversaries of the United States. And he secures large loans, he secures large payouts for favorable decisions by his father. The proof is in the pudding, and now we have an IRS agent who, unless he gets Clintoned and Hillary doesn't get a hold of him, maybe he gets to testify. Or she, we don't know who it is. They haven't announced it yet. Then you get into a different article, and Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, he's sounding the alarm because you remember a week or two ago I said that the House has subpoenaed various banks for Biden financial records. Well, those records are now starting to show up. And The article starts off with Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson is sounding the alarm over the Biden family's revealing bank records, arguing that the media completely ignored his 2020 report on the grifting family. Now, remember, he and Senator Grassley, they put together this whole outline of where Bidens were getting their money. And the media, of course, because they're running interference for anybody on the left, totally disregarded it. Senator Johnson went on to say, let's face it, Senator Grassley and I pretty well laid out the case against the grifting Biden family in September of 2020 before the election. Our report was completely ignored by the media, just as they ignored the Hunter Biden laptop, because they're advocates for the left themselves. And so what you're finding out now is just new pieces of evidence of the grifts that the Biden family have been involved with. The bank records that basically confirm what the Treasury records show from Senator Grassley's and my report. I think what recently reported on Fox is the trying to get into the sovereign wealth funds of like Ireland and some of these other countries. You know, our report shows something like a dozen different countries that Hunter Biden was again peddling the family name, trying to sell influence. But I think the trying to tap into sovereign wealth funds, I think, is pretty revealing. Why would governments who own these sovereign wealth funds, why would they want to pay into the Biden family coffers and the Biden family grift? Well, it's to gain influence. It's, you know, who knows exactly what it might benefit them, but the level of compromise of this president, I think, is just jaw-dropping. And maybe even more jaw-dropping is how the media, except for a few outlets like Fox News, is completely ignoring it. I guess they're okay with it. So, they said that was in September of 2020. So we're coming up on 3 years now that this information's been out there. The left can really, honestly, they can no longer ignore it, because the House of Representatives is now being controlled by the GOP. But here's an interesting development. C-SPAN has decided to, exercise some journalistic purview. And when sensitive conversations like this come up that damage the Biden family and the left as a whole, they choose not to broadcast that day or that session. So C-SPAN is already censoring what the American people can get, because they know that if they don't broadcast it, it makes it easier for the other leftist mainstream outlets like CNN, USA Today, MSN, The Wall Street Journal, pretty much any newspaper, the Chicago Tribune, LA Times, you name it. If C-SPAN doesn't put that out there, because there are avid C-SPAN watchers, most of them are older, but I don't have the time to sit around and watch C-SPAN, but the point is, they chose not to televise sessions of Congress where the topics were likely to damage the Bidens and the left as a whole. It's just crap. It's all crap. And then this last bit proves that point, which is the Air National Guardsman, who was recently arrested for basically espionage and leaking classified information. But my point is that the left and hidden leftist operatives within the Trump administration for 4 years leaked sensitive data. And every one of those leaks, as long as it was embarrassing to Trump and his administration, was celebrated on the left. They giddily played news report after news report, coverage sessions and interviews, one after another, where they just trotted out these leftist talking points, these communist members of Congress, who celebrated and relished in the fact that information came out that was embarrassing to Trump. Now, and mind you, none of those leakers was ever caught. They still haven't found the person that leaked the Roe v. Wade decision from the Supreme Court. I don't know. Maybe that was an inside job. Maybe they leaked it on purpose. Who knows? But the point is, for 4 years under Trump, there were dozens of leaks. Some of the leakers were known. Some of them were never discovered. But no charges were ever brought. Nobody was ever arrested. And every time it happened, it was celebrated on the left. Now, you have a 21-year-old Massachusetts Air National Guardsman who leaked classified information, allegedly. They sent military trucks and SWAT teams to this dude's house and arrested him while it was broadcast on live TV. What would be the point of that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because if the leak occurs from a leftist and hurts somebody on the right, celebration! Woohoo! If somebody releases information that's damaging to the left, all of a sudden now it's espionage. All of a sudden now the DOJ, the FBI, the NSA, the CIA, you know, whatever, pick a three-letter agency, they go full bore all out and try and figure out what happened because it hurt the left. So they employed every technology and measure that they had, and they found this guy inside of a week. But those efforts are only reserved when the leak damages the left. And that's what this is pointing out. All of this is to protect the Bidens. They're not investigating the Hunter Trump laptop. They're not investigating any of the payoffs and kickbacks and influence peddling. They only are investigating leaks when it is damaging and detrimental to the left. And now we've got a whistleblower saying, well, that's not entirely true. We're trying to investigate Hunter Biden and his influence peddling and his illegal gun purchase and his laptop and all these things. We're trying to do that. But we are being stopped by political appointees that are in positions of high praise and high authority, which smacks of Merrick Garland. This guy is going to limp over the finish line, which is the end of his presidency. There's no way this guy gets reelected. Not with all of the other shit going on that the left has done to this country, whether it be the electing of super liberal, damn near socialist DAs that were backed and funded by George Soros. All of these major cities that are run by Dems, they're losing business, they're losing citizens within those states, and the only thing that they're gaining is an increase in crime, poverty, and drug use. People are homeless, they're camped out in some of the most beautiful places in the city, and people don't want to go visit there. I thought it ironic that after 4 days of the black youth in Chicago rioting and taking over the streets, Chicago leadership said, well, you can't demonize the kids because they've lost out on so much opportunity. But, you know, ignore everything that happened. Ignore all the video that you saw. Go ahead and come to Chicago. Come visit. Come do the tourism. It's good. It's okay. It's safe. Bullshit! It's safe. I am not going anywhere near any of these fucked up, Dem-led cities, anywhere near the coast, or Chicago, or Minneapolis. I don't have a death wish. I looked up the other day, because we've got some summer travel coming up. And I looked up to check and see if any changes had been made to the concealed carry reciprocity for the state of Ohio. And lo and behold, I can take that gun anywhere I want to go, except the three states on the West Coast. I take that back. Maybe just California and Oregon. I think I can go to Washington. Can't go to Illinois. Can't go to Minnesota. And anything north and east of Pennsylvania, I can't carry my gun there. But anywhere else I want to go, I think there are 42 states that I can go to and 8 that I cannot go to and legally use or have my concealed carry with me. So it is shocking to me that the media is so resolute in their silence about all of the shit that the Bidens are doing and have done. It is shocking to me. Next. Here's something fun. In New Zealand, a guy who was once considered New Zealand's strongest man enters the women's powerlifting competition to protest its transgender policy, thereby forcing organizers to change the rules of the contest overnight. And I got a great chuckle out of this because it exposes the left and their delirium in thinking that there's no physiological advantage being a man versus a woman. What are you frickin' smoking? Have you been hanging out with Hunter Biden? There are two genders, people. There are only two. There can be only two. But yet, they, i.e. the left, wants you to play make-believe with them. And they want you to believe that you can change genders when you want to. We'll just cut off a bit here. We'll add a little bit there. We'll give you some things for your hormones. You know, it's going to be great. You're going to love it. Meanwhile, you can go compete as a woman, or you can try and compete as a man. But here's the thing. How many transgender men, which I think means formerly a woman, have tried to participate in men's sports? Zero. How many trans women, men that used to be men, who are now identifying as women, have now competed as a quote-unquote woman and just ran away with the show? They're beating world records of every size and proportion, whether it's weightlifting or swimming, track and field. They're engaging in MMA events and literally cracking eye sockets and skulls and nearly killing women. But hey, they said that they were a woman. Did you not check his shorts? Not a woman. Total bullshit. So when I saw this article, I got a good chuckle. A male weightlifter, once dubbed New Zealand's strongest man, applied last week to compete in a women's powerlifting competition. His intention was not to defeat women in the sport, but rather to discredit the notion that biological men do not have a physiological advantage over their female peers, an advantage which male transsexuals appear keen to simultaneously exploit and deny. Global Powerlifting Committee New Zealand has since denied Dale Shepherd's application, adopting new rules over the weekend that will preclude him from taking the stage to make his point. While Shepherd suggests the new rules are similarly deficient, it appears that with his controversial application, he may have forced a shift in the right direction without having to break a sweat. Some middling male athletes have transitioned over to women's sports in recent years, ostensibly in hopes of leveraging their sex-specific biological advantages to displace female athletes, thereby securing prize money, sponsorship, and other spoils. Perceiving this trend to be unfair and unsportsmanlike, a number of men in the world of weightlifting have taken action. Dale Shepherd, 52, is one of a handful of men to protest gender identification policies and make a mockery of the trend of non-competitive men seeking to try their odds against women. And then it goes on and tells you that in 2019, a British rapper who goes by the name Zuby, he's an Oxford graduate. He beat the British women's deadlift record as well as the benchlift record And he did it just to piss people off and said his protest struck a nerve demonstrating the fallacies of the arguments on the other side. He's quoted as saying, "I have seen people saying there is no inherent biological strength difference between men and women. I posted it, being a bit tongue-in-cheek, showing what I think of the obvious absurdity of their argument." And then there's a video of him actually just walking up to a bar, no warm-up, no nothing, walking up to the bar that's 10 pounds heavier than the British record for women, and he picks it up like it's nothing. And it's just crazy. Oh, let's see here. The Blaze recently reported that Abby Silverberg, former head coach for Team Canada Powerlifting, temporarily identified as a female on March 25th and demolished the woman's record set by a male transsexual, Anne Andres, at the Heroes Classic Powerlifting meet in Lethbridge, Alberta. Silverberg exploited the same gender policy as Andres had, then tested the transsexual athlete's record with him watching. Not only did the male coach beat Andreas's record, he cleared it by nearly 100 pounds. Andreas has previously lifted 275 pounds, while Silverberg casually pressed 370 pounds. It is all make-believe! They want you to play make-believe with them. They want you to use magical pronouns that they somehow identify with. I'm a they, them. Fuck you, you are not. I can see your boobs. You're a she, her. Shut the fuck up and get out. This is bullshit. It's the land of make-believe. And they want you, they're forcing you, they're telling you that you have to comply and you have to use these absurd pronouns. And you have to play make-believe with them that a man with a full beard, at least a month's worth of growth, it's trimmed up, who's wearing a dress, you have to call them Linda, and you have to refer to them in speech and in any other way as a woman, as a she, her. It's bullshit. I don't acknowledge their land of make-believe, just like I don't acknowledge the 10 imaginary friends that the schizophrenic on the street corner sees, but I don't. It's all make-believe. And I'm not playing their game. It's bullshit. Bullshit! I might have gone off the rails. Oh, well, let's do a time check. Well, we're all right. Well, I'm trying to keep it to a half an hour, so that's the show. We'll be back midweek with another preparedness episode. Sorry about that. But we'll be back midweek with episode 138. My summer hiatus is coming up. It used to be June, July, and half of August when my girls were in high school, but they're not in high school now. They're in college, both of them. And both of them get out for their summer break in about a week and a half to 2 weeks. So my summer hiatus might be starting a little earlier than normal. So if I have an empty house, I'll record a show. But once June comes, it's a total crapshoot. Who knows what's going to happen. So I just wanted you to know that. But don't forget, there's a gun show in Sharonville, Ohio. So if you're in the tri-state area of eastern Indiana, northern Kentucky, and southern Ohio, you should go check it out. See if there's anything in there that you need or that you can afford. Yeah, that's it. So be good, stay safe, keep your head on a swivel. I'm out.
Happy Hunger Games, and may the odds be ever in your favor.